In today's interview, Alex Jarrell shares her story on how she grew her business, which is a subscription e-commerce business, from zero into a massive success. You're going to love this interview. Welcome to another episode of the Harvest Growth Podcast, focused on helping consumer product companies, inventors, and entrepreneurs harvest the growth potential of their product businesses by teaching cutting-edge marketing strategies and interviewing successful marketers, as well as product marketing experts that share their stories to inspire you to achieve hypergrowth for your own business. I'm your host, John LeClair, founder and CEO of Harvest Growth, and I believe that if you want to make your product the next household name, you just need to follow the right plan, and that even the best products struggle to succeed when they step away from proven strategies that work. If you'd like to learn more about what we call the perfect launch process for marketing products, check out harvestgrowth.com. And if you still have questions on how you can implement this process for your business, you'll see a link on our homepage to set up a free consultation with one of our product launch specialists. I'm excited to have Alex Jarrell on the line with us today for her business to talk about. She started a business called Nom Nom Now, and I'm going to let her tell you about it, but this is a fascinating business. You're really going to love her story. Alex, welcome to the show.
Thank you. So happy to be here. And I always, anytime anybody introduces just with the name, I always love, like, what was somebody's reaction out there hearing just Nom Nom Now? Like, what do they think I'm about to talk about here? So Nom Nom Now, we started back in 2015. We started as a fresh dog food company. So actually preparing food for out of our San Francisco apartment kitchen in the beginning, because my dog Harley had some pretty serious health issues when she was about a year old. I still kind of have PTSD anytime I walk by a veterinarian's office because of the time, the money, and the trauma that we all experienced during her first year of life. But come to find out, probably due to poor breeding, she had a compromised immune system. So she was not able to fight off ailments the way a normal, healthy dog would be able to. So our vet actually recommended we try to boost her immune system naturally through the use of supplements and preparing her, a human-grade fresh diet, so cooking for her at home. And that's what we started doing. And after about a month of preparing her food, we saw her health change dramatically for the better. She was acting like a puppy again, where she had had some serious hair loss on her face and neck. That was starting to grow back. It was just amazing. But to tell you the truth, it took a lot of time and a lot of time that, we as working professionals maybe didn't have to invest in cooking for her. So started looking around and seeing, is there someone out there who can do this for us? And when there wasn't a service out there that was doing it the way we thought it should be done, we decided, who wants to quit their job and work for the dog? So it started out very much as a family business. Myself, my now husband and now brother-in-law, and then a friend of ours all decided we were going to work for the dog and make fresh dog food for dogs at the time, just in the San Francisco Bay Area. So from there, it was, how do we do this? We are not experts. We are not nutritionists. So started the journey to figuring out how to create a pet food that was balanced and complete for the dogs that we love. And that involved bringing a board-certified vet nutritionist on board. And as I'm sure many entrepreneurs know, it's not like somebody you just pick up the phone and find someone. We actually went through a list of about 60 vet nutritionists where we were just reaching out cold emails saying, this is what we want to do. Would you be interested in working with us? And we found Dr. Justin Smallberg through those efforts. And unbeknownst to us at the time, he's actually a leader in this field. And we're so fortunate to have him doing the really heavy lifting on the back end for formulating the recipes and testing. But now, nearly 5 years later, we're serving dogs and cats across the 48 contiguous states, and are now offering additional products like supplements and microbiome testing. So even taking the business, away from just pet food to being more pet health. So lots changed in 5 years, but it's been an awesome journey.
Well, looking at your business now, it's amazing that it's only been 5 years, frankly, as an outsider, right? I'm sure it's been a lot of work on the inside, but what you've done in this short period of time is very impressive. And I love, as you go to your website, so it's nomnomnow.com. We'll post a link to it in the show notes and actually post a discount at the end of this show as well. But what I love is you call these, you don't call them products. In some places you do, but you call them recipes. And you click on the recipe side, and as I go to the website, I look at one of these, for example, it's the Tasty Turkey Fare, you call it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the ingredients are ground turkey, brown rice, carrots, spinach, egg, fish oil, and then your nutrient mix. And you look at it, and like, this looks like something I could get at Tokyo Joe's. It looks delicious, right? It's actual food that you would eat. Yeah. Real foods that now you're sharing with your dogs. And if we care enough about our own health to eat healthy foods, why don't we think the same way about our pets, our dogs or our cats? So I love what you've created with this. It's just an impressive.
Yeah. And I think you hit the nail on the head there. It really comes down to, like, we know when we eat better, we feel better, right? It makes a huge difference for our health. So why isn't the same true for our pets? And the truth is it is, but we just haven't known to ask the right questions. I remember back when we got started in 2015, we were not VC backed at the time. It was very much our own investment and then friends and family, us trying to get this off the ground. And so I was responsible for what I called parketing. So it was marketing and sales, but it was from the park. I was taking samples of the food. I was going out. I was, I called it slanging dog food, trying to help people understand what we were trying to prepare. And when I would show someone a picture, we make fresh dog food, they all thought, oh, well, it's a kibble that's made from those things. There's just a very strong association with dry pet food and the word pet food. So I very quickly understood I'm going to need to take samples out here. And then even then it was, okay, well, do I need to add water to make it look like that? And they're like, no, it's just real food. And would have people ask me, well, can you eat it yourself? Sure, I can eat it myself, and I can tell you how much dog and cat food I've now eaten by this point. But it's definitely something, if you can get your pet to share, you're more than welcome to it. It does need a little bit of salt or sriracha or ranch, depending on what you prefer in your flavor profile, because there's definitely not any unneeded seasoning there. But we truly believe a diet that is very minimally processed or cooked and with no additives, no fillers, nothing that their bodies don't need, that's what's going to lead to the healthiest life for your pet.
I talk a lot about with our audience the importance of doing early testing, getting in front of your audience and talking to them. And I love what you've done, especially you call it parketing, right? Going out to a park and actually talking to pet owners. And some of these questions you wouldn't have gotten if you just launched it, right? If you launched before thinking or before researching, you may not have realized that people don't understand it. They still view it as a kibble or dry dog food or pet or cat food, et cetera. So really getting that importance of understanding your confusion that might be out there in the marketplace by consumers. So now you know how to message, right? Now, because you've talked to these consumers in their environment, they've come back to questions to help you to really formulate. And I'm sure, clarified your message as you brought it forward.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Our my technical co-founder, our CTO, it was so funny. We'd talk about how many iterations of our website there had been, because definitely the first one that we put up when I went out and started talking to people, and then they'd go to our website, they're like, well, you didn't have on there who formulates the food, or you didn't have on there where the food's made. So we would go back and make these changes to the website based on what I was hearing from potential customers. And I think that's a huge benefit that we still have being a D2C company. Our feedback loop and getting to talk with our customers informs everything. I mean, for us, we are one of the only fresh pet food companies that actually operates their own production. So we produce all of our own products, and that came out of, we were doing that in our kitchen at the beginning, but definitely we could have made the decision to outsource to a co-manufacturer. But for us, not only for our pets, but also from what we're hearing from potential customers, is that I want to know who's making my pet food. I want to know where it's made. I want to know how it's made. I want to know what's going into it. And that was really important to us as well. So that was a decision that we made, that we were going to be a completely vertically integrated company. So we have production facilities and kitchens in California as well as Tennessee now, to be able to serve the 48 states. And that's something, we've continued to build a lot of our resources in-house. So we're now, I mentioned briefly earlier, doing more on kind of the science of pet health through studying the gut microbiome through doing microbiome testing. And now we actually have a science team in-house as well. So we're conducting, you know, this research. We're going to have a first published study coming very soon, have about 14 more underway. But, you know, for us being able to kind of own that development and process and hold ourselves accountable to a very high standard is really, really important to us. And from the conversations we've had with our customers, very important to them as well. So.
So we talked a little bit about how this food is similar to human food, right? You can actually eat it, like you said, maybe a little bit of salt, but these are real ingredients. But how is it different? Without giving away the secret sauce, I guess, but you know, you got these nutritionists and PhDs on staff that help you formulate your products specific to pet needs for dogs and cats specifically. So what are their nutritional needs, out of curiosity, that are a little bit different from humans?
Yeah, it's all about finding the balance. So, you know, between humans and dogs, but also even between dogs and cats. Cats are obligate carnivores, for example. So they need primarily protein with very, very little carbohydrate, just to mimic, you know, the profile of a prey species, for example. So we do between our two recipes, our cat and dog recipes are very different. And that involves a lot of testing and formulation. Another example, like taurine, for example, that's something that dogs can take and actually synthesize from protein, from good protein sources, but cats can't. So they need independent taurine supplement added to their food. So it's just things like this, you know, having Dr. Smallberg, who knows the nutritional needs of pets inside out and backwards, because he is actually a board certified vet nutritionist, which is an additional degree on top of going to veterinary school. He's now spent, you know, a certain number of years outside of vet school just focused on nutrition. So they, all of our recipes are formulated to meet those very specific needs of a dog or a cat. For humans, you know, we could probably do just fine on these recipes. The vitamins are what would need to change for us. So again, when we think about that nutrient mix, like the ingredients themselves, we would do just fine. It's like the pot pie filling your grandma used to make. But we would just need to change kind of our vitamin profile for us.
Got it. Yeah. And how about tasting? I'm curious on that. So you obviously do all this research and study in order to figure out the nutrients that are required by dogs and cats. But how do you get to the point that dogs and cats are going to love this?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, my dog Harley is very proud to be the chief tasting officer around here. The problem is she's not of a discerning palate. So she's not normally our test profile. But we actually have a team of customers that anytime we launch a new recipe or we're thinking about a new treat or, you know, anything for which taste is going to play a factor, we go and actually, okay, we've got it balanced, but now is it going to meet palatability standards for dogs and cats? So we actually have a team of tasters that we call in, and they're very upset about their jobs for sure. They actually decide whether or not, you know, we're going to move forward based on how they actually receive and enjoy the meals. And cats, as an audience, though, they are just more difficult. As a species, they are neophobic, which means they kind of fear the new. So anytime you're changing something from their routine, especially their food, some can be very suspicious. So you're never going to see 100% buy-in necessarily from a cat testing group, but, you know, 50% or above, it's pretty solid on palatability. But it's a ton of fun, though, just to see how excited, again, going back to kind of marketing times, I got really official at one point and would have like a booth set up at certain events. And I would, I'd love whenever a customer, potential customer would come up and they would say, oh, I have a really picky dog, so they're definitely not going to eat this. And I'm like, oh, challenge accepted. So I would, you know, get our recipes out, let them smell it, and to see how excited a picky eater would get about eating something that's just, it's really real good food. And they get super excited about eating that. And people's minds would just be blown. Like, he's never eaten anything like that before. And I'm like, well, you've never fed him anything this good before. So.
So I think I've done a few interviews with company owners that have had PhDs on staff, but I think you're the first that has dogs and cats on staff as well to help out your business. That's a lot of fun. But again, it attests to the importance of testing, right? So in the beginning, you've got to test the concept and your messaging, but it is so important to test a product as well. You know, it doesn't matter how nutritious your product is. If dogs and cats aren't going to eat it, then it's going to die on the vine, right? So no one's going to order a second shipment, which brings me to I want to talk about your current business model. So now you're 100%, as I understand it, an e-commerce business model, all subscription-based, right, which makes sense. So you get this in the home, and once the dogs and cats love it, then they reorder every week or every month throughout that process. Let's talk about the very beginning. So you started off in the park, right, talking to people one-on-one, but eventually transitioned, of course, to doing online marketing. What was your first thing that you did from a marketing tactic perspective?
Yeah, so we started doing, advertising through Facebook and Google. And for us, it was really, how do we start to get people to ask the right questions? I think for us, the uphill battle, and we will continue an uphill battle for a while, is just education. So people, pet owners, they would never be feeding something that they knew to be harmful to their pets, right? They just don't know right now that there's something better out there, or that they should be asking if there's something better out there. So for us, we really tried to be thoughtful in our advertising to be kind of, thought-provoking, getting people asking questions, and then also developing quite a lot of content as well. So content has been another initiative for us, where we want to be seen as a thought leader in the space. This is a very, very new space. So let's put content forth that, whether they're customers or not, we're helping these pet parents in some way. So for example, we have a puppy feeding guide that just talks about, this is one of the most searched things for a new puppy parent. They want to know, how on earth am I supposed to feed this pet that I've just brought into my home? So we've created, through with Dr. Smallberg, a guide that really helps, regardless of whether they're feeding fresh or not, just to make sure that pets and puppies are getting what they need nutritionally. So that was really the approach that we've taken and continue to take through, digital advertising and content development, is really trying to help educate consumers on why this is a decision that they need to make. Because as a pet owner and a pet parent, you don't change their diet on a whim. there can be digestive upset. You want to do a lot of research. This is not it's a very high consideration purchase. But for that very same reason, once we get a customer on board, they are very unlikely to leave if they're satisfied with the product. So it's something that, for the very reason it might take a little bit longer to acquire a customer, they are going to stay with us longer. So we really try to make this a no-brainer type of decision for them. And that's another reason that for us, we're starting to really invest in the research side of the business, and actually talking about pet health from a scientific angle, and being able to show, through our microbiome research, hey, these are the changes that take place when you're feeding a fresh diet. That's the point we want to get to, where we're not just making a marketing claim. We're able to say, like, this is actually the impact that it's having, and being able to put that forth to a consumer. It's hard to argue with science and fact and research. So it really excited about those initiatives and studies that we have underway.
And let's stay on the topic of marketing for a minute. So you talked a lot about some great ideas on education and getting the research out there so people are aware of it, and using social media and online digital marketing channels. What would you say, every business has the turning point, right, where they really start to gain traction, right? Where in the beginning, you're trying everything. Some of it works, some of it doesn't. But at some point, there's that inflection that really starts to drive your business forward. What would you say, if you can call it one thing, I'm sure there's many, right? But what stands out in your mind is the inflection point for your business where this really started to take off?
Oh my goodness. Great question. I would say one of the first times that we ever really had kind of an organic PR appearance, that was when I really felt like we kind of started rolling. And that was we launched in late 2015, early 2016, we were reached out to by Cron4 in San Francisco to do kind of a dine and dash segment. And it was our first opportunity to get on and really showcase, like, this is food that we would eat. These are the health benefits that we've seen, and to get on and talk about it in kind of a local media sense. And I think that for me really felt like the inflection point and kind of the turning point, and, a time when we had very few customers, we nearly, might double or triple in size from something like this. And so we knew for us, like, this is going to be hard, but this can gain traction. There is an audience for this. And in everything, the pet food industry itself is a $33 billion industry. And so there is a lot of a lot of space to grow and to gain market share and to educate people, you know, on why making the move from a processed diet to a fresh diet matters. And so I think for me, that was a point that I look back on and still get really excited about. You know, just people just need to know. Once, you know, once the word is out there, then, you know, for us, it's kind of, you know, a big initiative for us too was, if we're going to produce the product ourselves, let's make sure that we're ready for scale. So, you know, we've now, I guess it was 2017, we opened our first wholly operated facility in California, and then our second followed in Nashville in 2018, and that we now have over 100,000 square feet of production space to actually meet demand. So, you know, for us, that's another thing. Like, we're not just a marketing a marketing engine. We also have to match it on the back end as well. So that's always been a balance. You know, for anyone starting a business for which they're going to handle the whole thing, you know, definitely have to make sure that you're thinking strategically of not putting the cart before the horse in either sense.
Absolutely. And funding becomes a big part of that. You mentioned how you're VC backed, and a business like this where you have to, or at least it's better if you can manage your own manufacturing, mm-hmm. that having that funding come into place so you can manage it correctly and scale right. with it as the demand grows is so crucial to that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. I love how you talked about PR. Usually when I ask a question like that, PR doesn't come into the mix. And I think it's because a lot of products, marketing companies have a single product, right? And so when they get a big PR hit, it's kind of done, right? They sell a bunch of product. You know, we've had products, our clients that have been on the Today Show and Good Morning America, and these big, huge PR hits, which are great for their business, but they're short term. Mm-hmm. The benefit of it for your business, obviously, I think, is as a subscription business, you've got to really build trust. I think more so than a single product, impulse type product, but also you've got the long lasting benefit. So any customer that you do bring in, even if it's from a short, quote unquote, short term hit like that, mm-hmm. now you've got customers for life potentially, yeah. especially with a great product like yours. When you once you have them, as you said, you keep them because right. the dogs love it, because their health improves and the owners love it. So it's interesting how that answer to, you know, the inflection point or the biggest driver of success can be so different for different styles of businesses. I can see how it's yeah. very different for yours as a subscription business.
Yeah. And I think also if you'd asked another of my co-founder, maybe they think of a different point as the inflection sure. point. I think that was just for me personally of like, you know, we're working really hard. Is this thing going to move? Is this thing going to work out? And for me, that was the point where I was like, oh my gosh, it is. So. Yeah. I think even within a company, probably asking, you know, different people who were here what the inflection point was, it might change a bit. You know, but,
sure. And it definitely makes it tangible, right? When you can yeah. see your product being marketed by somebody else, right? When it's done through PR like that, where somebody else is talking it up and they love it. Or it's like when you store, you know, for retail products, when they show up in the store shelf, it becomes that mm-hmm. that tangible side of the business, right? For you, it's not on the store shelves, but when it's really talked about and you get that trust mm-hmm. factor built for your business. So what's next for Num Num now?
Oh my goodness. Sky's the limit. I want to feed all the dogs and all the cats. That's what's next for me. For us, you know, we are really trying to drive towards a more personalized experience for our pets. So right now, you know, when you come to our site, we do collect over 120 different data points on a dog or a cat. And that's everything from their health to their dietary preferences to, you know, just information like their age or weight. So we're collecting a lot of information there. And from that information and from the research that we're doing, we're creating these ancillary products where, you know, like microbiome testing, but from that, it's our probiotic support. It's a GI-specific probiotic. It's a probiotic for cats. It's joint mobility supplements. So we're now taking and looking at the feedback we're getting from customers, you know, things that products that they want to see, but also what we're learning from the research that we're doing, what we can do to develop these products in a different way. Not just, you know, it could be very easy to just white label something that's out there, but for us, we wanted to create something that was different and that was definitely going to make an impact for our customers. So for us, how do we now create this entire approach to pet health that comes as a package, right? You know, the dream might be to have an intake, a microbiome test on intake, a completely personalized package recommended for the pet, and then being able to test at several other, you know, intervals to be able to show the change. And I think that's really what we want to drive towards is how can we even more personalize health for your pet and make it a way that people understand, you know, it is making a difference. So that's kind of the long-term goal and initiative is to be that one-stop pet health nutrition shop. And I'm really excited the progress that we're making towards it. It's awesome. It's awesome to see where we were 5 years ago and where we are today. So.
Oh, it's absolutely impressive. And I do encourage everyone to visit the website, nomnomnow.com, and just check out I would call it slick work that you've done. It's just very premium looking and feeling as you get through that. And, you know, even if you don't have a dog or a cat, as a listener, check out their process and the way that they've built this site to bring you in as a potential customer. You can click on create a meal plan. It asks you several questions to, as you said, really get to know you, but to build something specific or custom to you as a pet owner or as a potential customer for them. So I encourage everyone definitely to check out the website. Alex, is there anything I didn't ask that you think could be helpful for our audience?
I think it's just super helpful for, you know, for anyone out there who might be starting a business and stay true to what you believe will make a difference. I think for us, you know, we've definitely taken a more difficult path than what we could have in terms of, you know, being completely vertically integrated. One thing I didn't mention, we actually will pre-portion every meal specific to the dog or cat, you know, based on that intake information. 50% of dogs and cats in the United States are overweight or obese. So we actually take the time to portion out every meal to actually help control, maintain, gain, or lose weight for these pets that are eating with us. So that's something that is also not the easiest way. You know, we could try to depend on the pet parents to do that, but that's not necessarily their responsibility. So there were definitely a few things for us that once we found out that our customers kind of shared that conviction that, you know, we did take the hard road there. So I would just encourage anyone who's starting out and has an idea and is really passionate about something, you know, figure out what you stand for and then don't compromise on that. I think that's hugely important to finding success and building a brand that will hopefully last.
That's great advice, Alex. I do want to also mention to our audience that Alex has been generous enough to offer a 50% discount to anybody who's listening to the show and would like to check out these meal plans and actually go to a different website. And I'll put this in the show notes. It's trynom, N-O-M, as in num num. So trynom.com/HG, as in Harvest Growth, as in the Harvest Growth podcast. trynom.com/HG. And again, I'll put that in the show notes. You'll get a 50% discount off of your order. I encourage everyone, as I said before, check out the website, at least from a learning perspective, and just see the great work that Alex and her team have done and this really cool product line, frankly. I love it. And thanks again, Alex, so much for joining us on the show. This is really a fun interview.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And if anybody's out there checking things out and has feedback, don't hesitate to reach out with that as well. We're still growing, still changing. So always welcome feedback.
Perfect. Love it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for your valuable insights and for taking the time to share your story. Our audience of inventors, entrepreneurs, and product marketers will benefit greatly from what you've taught us today. For the listeners, go to their website to learn more. Also, be sure to check out harvestgrowthpodcast.com to see other episodes that we have recorded. And if you like this episode and you want to learn more about how you can profitably grow your consumer product business, please subscribe to our show and leave us a review on iTunes or Google Play.